Listening to Radio Free Cybertron, Brian Kilby here. The show's a little bit late just for today, and was actually absent last week. Due to the show being late the week before, I decided just to take the week off. Honestly, because John was late with the buzz, he didn't have time to do it, and considering that I am so incredibly lazy and strapped for time over the past month or so, I really didn't have time to fill it with anything else. If, as you can probably tell from the last RFC, which was the John DeLuna show. But this week's different. We have quite a bit of stuff on the show. It's mostly reviews, and lots of them. A couple of reviews for Brave Max, review of Transmetal 2 Cheetor, other stuff. I don't even remember. It's so late here. Well, it's not really late. But I got up early this morning for work. Yeah. I'm about to doze off here and bump into the microphone a lot if I do that. Just forgive me. Well, let's see here. For the past week or so, I've basically just been cranky. And if you've seen me on ATT, you kind of realize that. Especially lately. There was a thread that popped up about Rush Limbaugh on ATT, and it's just became a lot of partisan whining on both sides. And that's the kind of stuff that I really hate to see on the group. Please, people, never bring up religion or politics on ATT. That's just common sense. I mean, you know, post about the X-Men, you know, baseball, G.I. Joe, you know, that's one thing, but people take politics and religion too seriously, and it's just going to end up as a big argument. That's basically what it did do. So, people there listening, if I said anything out of the way in sort of rebuffing you, telling you that what you're doing is out of the way, which I did, because it is. But if I said anything a little bit too far out there, you just ignore me, please. Let's see here, on the show, besides those wonderful reviews, of course we have the ATT Buzz by John DeLuna, and we have a trivia, which we'll actually start off with this week, because I don't feel like doing putting it last. It's a little bit more work when I push it out there. And we also have Bad Poets Corner, and like I just said, we'll start off things this week with trivia. And you know how this works. It's a little bit different this time, though. Instead of having a link on the homepage for it, trivia, we'll just do it in the show. So I'll play it twice. If you know it, email me at brian@tfradio.com or .net or kilby316@abts.net. If you know my email address, just send it there. On the homepage, there's a link up there, too. So you can just click on that. And like I said, I'll play it twice, and here we go with the first time.
You find Megatron will secure every component.
You're a fool, Megatron. You can't trust those reckless Thundercons with such an important mission.
And again.
You find Megatron will secure every component.
You're a fool, Megatron. You can't trust those reckless Thundercons with such an important mission.
And, that's it. Coming up next is the ATT Buzz.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and sorry I've been away so long, and RFC's been away for the past 10 days or so, but at least look at it this way. Some good stuff has happened as far as Transformer news as of late, especially with toys. Ben Yee and his website, BWTF.com, finally updated, and although it might not have lived up to the hype that some put on it that he actually built up towards it, it's still a good page. It's still a great place to find up-to-date Transformer news. And if anything, Benson Yee is able to get through his Hasbro contacts lots of good information before anybody else. Like, take, for instance, pictures of the finished Strika and Stealth Cheetor toys that popped up on his website earlier this week. And let me just say, both toys, in my opinion, look terrible. Especially Stealth Cheetor. I mean, from based on the prototype pictures that we saw of Stealth Cheetor, I liked it. It was full of detail. It was maybe not the most show accurate thing, but I don't care about show accuracy, honestly. All I care about is the toy. And the toy looked good. It looked detailed. It looked like it had lots of gimmicks for a deluxe. It looked like a good size toy. But the finished paint job, mainly black with gold spots, it's a nice idea in theory, but it looks terrible in my opinion. I mean, you can't see the detail in the toy. It's all black. It's like Tigerhawk. He's all white. That toy's full of detail, but you can't see it because it's not highlighted. It's not shadowed. It's all just one white wash. Same thing with Stealth Cheetor, but he's black. Also, I can't help but think, why? What's the point of this? It's another deluxe size Cheetor. It's overkill, baby. I mean, this is just too much of the one character. I would have preferred almost if they had just called it something else, like Tigatron, and painted it in that color scheme instead of coming up with a different color scheme for another Cheetor, because it is the third Cheetor in this line, and they probably didn't feel like painting him like the TV show or like the other two toys, because even they, Hasbro, thought that would be overkill. Now, as far as Strika goes, her vehicle mode is awesome. Her robot mode is kind of bad. I mean, it's my worst fears. When you saw the prototype, her arms look gimpy, and they are gimpy, especially now when you can see her in bright, beautiful, finished colors. The main three colors in the paint job are gold, dark blue, and silver, and that's nice in theory. I mean, it's nice in concept, but I don't think they really pulled it off. Then again, chances are, based on the prototype pics that we've seen from Benson Yee, even though those are finished colors, they're not going to have the chrome look that the toy has in those pictures that you see on the internet. Because if you remember, and even if you don't, Night Viper had those same kind of chrome colors on all of his toy, but as you can tell, on the final product, it's much duller, because you can't mass-produce plastic in that kind of chrome shiny metallic finish. You just can't do it. In the final product, it's going to be a lot duller, and Strika will probably look better for it. Now, personally, I would have liked to have seen her in show colors, because this toy is pretty show accurate, and there's really no point in not at least making the paint job show accurate too. I mean, this is supposed to be Strika from the show. I don't get why we've got to go with some other colors that look okay, but come on. I mean, what's a kid going to think when he picks up that toy? I mean, it looks like the character from the show, but it doesn't. I mean, it's shaped like her, but it's not colored like her. And it could be easily colored like her. And all I can say is I'm afraid that this will point to a big opportunity for Hasbro to re-release a repaint in about 6 months or so of a show-accurate Strika, maybe along with the deluxe Obsidian that will come out later. Who knows? Also on ATT, it became pretty clear this week, and I've heard this rumor before lots of times, actually, from reliable sources, and most other people who are in the know, quote-unquote, have been aware of this fact for quite a while, at least a couple months, that Transtech, as far as the Transformer in the line to succeed Beast Machines, is scrapped. It never happened. It never got past the prototype stage. It never even got to the prototype stage, although I am interested in the possibility of some artist concepts floating around somewhere in some warehouse. Maybe pictures of some characters and some potential toys that never made it to a prototype form. But that being said, Transtech is dead. Never happened, never will happen. They're going to have another kind of concept. Maybe the toys and the names are going to be very similar, but the word Transtech is not going to be associated with the next line following Beast Machines. That's good or bad, depending on your opinion. I don't really care. I mean, names and numbers and lists and toy fair rosters and things like that don't mean anything to me. I mean, I have to see a toy before I form an opinion. Heck, I have to play with a toy and touch a toy and mess and buy the toy and handle the toy in person before I review it or pass judgment on it, let alone an entire line. So words and names don't mean much of anything to me. Also, little known on ATT as I speak, it might break earlier, but there's a good chance that Hasbro Direct later this year will release Ravage. A Ravage toy as part of the Beast Machine line, maybe as part of the Beast Machine line, maybe part of Transtech or the line following Beast Machines, but chances are it will be released earlier, later this year, early next year, as part of the Beast Machine line, a Ravage toy. Why do I say this? Well, because there are pictures in early toy catalogs floating around, not currently online, but I've seen them with my own eyes, of a repainted Transmetal 2 Cheetor that Hasbro Direct, not just Hasbro, Hasbro Direct, the father of Deployers and Beast Riders, has worked on. They've come up with a recolored black Transmetal 2 Cheetor that they will probably release as Ravage. Now, all I have to say about that is why. I mean, they're turning into Takara with their rampant repaints. All I can think of is Transmetal 2 Cheetor is the only Cheetor that hasn't gotten repainted. So they thought, what the heck? Let's just call him Ravage. Although this is Hasbro Direct, so be afraid, be very afraid. They're cheapos. I mean, there's no other way to say it. Those guys are cheap. And if they can save a few pennies by just recycling Beast Machine, Beast Transmetal packaging that says Cheetor on it with Cheetor box art, they're going to use it, and they're just going to call it Cheetor, and they're just going to re-release a repainted Transmetal 2 Cheetor as a repainted Transmetal 2 Cheetor. No difference in name or doubt, but I don't put anything past Hasbro Direct, if you get my drift. I mean, they've got a dubious history as far as toy releases go. Also, it seems that the Hasbro Company Store has more wackiness going on with it. Repainted Beast Riders showed up at the Hasbro Company Store, at least for a brief time. Don't ask me why. Don't ask me how that turned out. It looks like they at least experimented with color schemes for the Beast Riders and in significant numbers, enough to package a few of them and just pass them on to the company store for sale, just for the heck of it, I guess, just to get rid of them. Kind of odd, I guess, but, you know, whatever. Including was a Black Chi and a purple Mechatron. Kind of odd. And I guess that's the ATT bus for this week. Not much news, but some interesting tidbits over toy-related items. See you in a few days. Since RFC was postponed a few days this week, I guess we'll be overlapping a little bit. So you take the good with the bad. And that's the ATT Buzz. I'm John DeLuca.
You're listening to Radio Free Cybertron, the best in Transformers on the Internet.
And thanks, John. Here's Goldimus Prime with a preview of his review, and actually with the review of Transmetal 2 Cheetor as well.
This is Goldimus Prime. I'm reviewing Transmetal 2 Cheetor right now. But later in the show, I will be reviewing the Battle for the Spark Beast Machines toy, Hammerstrike. Anyway, Transmetal 2 Cheetor. I think I can sum this up pretty quick. Transmetal 2 Cheetor is utter, total, complete crap on a stick. This has been Goldimus Prime.
Radio Free Cybertron.
And you asked for him. Here is the computer. He's back. And he's doing some reviews. Enjoy.
Hey everybody, this is the computer. Remember me? I used to make jokes now and again about Brian's weight. Haha. Well, I'm back to review some toys. Not that I particularly want to. But that's beside the point. Actually, this kind of stinks. I'm not reviewing the toys. I'm impersonating Rat Trap 007 and Matrix Prime. Joy. Hi everyone. Rat Trap 007. Here. Got something real. Special to review this week. This week I'm reviewing toys that I got from Big Bad Toy Story Com before they hit mass market next month. The figures, Tank Drone, and Hummer Strike. I'll start with Hammer Strike. Hummer Strike. Shark Mode. Hummer Strike is the maximal basic shark figure. He is a hammerhead. Naturally, he is 6 inches long in this mode. On his right side of his body is a maximal symbol. Very little articulation in this mode. His side fins move up and down and his jaw moves up and down. That is about it. His gimmick is you push on his spark crystal and attack blade pop out the front of his head. Transformation. Robot. Robot mode stands about 4.5 inches tall. His nose as a weapon is kinda cool. I dislike the lack of hands. His head is oddly shaped and he is kinda spindly. Overall he is still a cool figure. I give him a 7 out of 10. Tank Drone. Tank mode. Dead on show accurate. Man, this is the coolest basic figure to date. I might be going out on a limb and say he is the best Beast Machine toy yet. Tank mode is about 4.5 in long, has silver chrome in front of the head, where it was silver on the show. Robot. Again, VERY show accurate. Stand between 5 and 6 in. This depends if you have a cannon in firing ready mode, or standing straight up on his back. I give him a 9.5 out of 10. Only thing I didn't like was having the turret rotate to fire. Push a button would be better in my opinion. That is all. Sigh. One down. Want to hear my impression of Brian? Yum. I like this toy. It's cool and all. Yum. But it's not too great in parts. Here's my impression of Turin. I'm smarter than you are. Heh. Here's my impression of Mop Boy. I can't really do Mop Boy. Forget that one. Here's my impression of Goldie. Hoo hoo hoo. I'm a big baby. Ha ha ha. Here's my impression of Al Gore. Trees are a really nice thing.
Will you stop that and get to the reviews?
Oh. Sure, sorry. Got carried away. Brave Maximus review. By Matrix Prime. Accessories. Playmat. Tech spec. Satellite dish. Gun for Brave. Overview. Brave Maximus is the repaint of Generation 1 Fortress Maximus. He does not include any weapons other than what is built into his body. The repaint retains the original 3 modes of Fortress Maximus. Packaging. Brave Maximus comes in a huge box with a dimensions 9 inches by 16 inches by 24. Like all of the newer car robot toys, there are 2 ways to display the box, either horizontally or vertically. Once you open the, you had better set 10 to 15 minutes aside so you can undo all of the little twist ties. I ended up cutting most of them. Plasma. Who is Plasma? Well, Plasma is the repaint of Spike. He forms the head of Brave, repaint of Cerebros. The only articulation on Plasma are his arms and legs. His colors consist of black, dark red, and silver. Brave. Transform Plasma and put him atop Brave and you get another Transformer. Brave is made up of the same colors as plasma and has the same pints of articulation. If you flip the chest of Brave open, he reveals his tech spec. A gimmick found in Generation 1 Headmasters. Robot Mode. Transform Brave into a head and slap him atop the mountainous body to form Brave Maximus. In Robot Mode, Brave Maximus is huge. He stands 55 centimeters tall and towers over every other Transformer I have. Red and blue are the predominant colors, with some gray parts as well. The weapons of Brave Max include knee cannons, forearm guns, wrist guns, left leg cannon and the two big cannons on his waist. Brave Max is missing a lot of accessories, compared to his Fortress Maximus counterpart. Guest Hikara didn't think we needed them. The one thing that did come as a surprise though was the use of die-cast metal. It has been a while since Transformers have had this, but it is included on Brave Max. You can find this on his left leg and waist area. Battleship Mode. Not quite sure why this mode is called a battleship, seeing as how it looks nothing like one. This mode is basically just a mod of Robot Mode. You basically lay Brave Max down and reconfigure a few of his parts and you have a battleship mode. Nothing spectacular, but it does its job. City Mode. Now this is a great mode. Takara painted Brave Max to look like he had lit up windows, and it looks great when in City Mode. This City Mode can hold the Spitchangers and Car Brothers. In City Mode, you can place Brave Max on his included playmat, which is a major disappointment. Now I could care less about the playmat, but it is very cheap. It is printed on the back, on the instruction sheet, and is much smaller than the playmat that was originally seen on the internet. Despite the problems with a playmat, this is a great mode. Overall, this is a great toy. I bought him for two reasons. One, I never owned a Fortress Maximus. Two, the size factor. He is huge. Was it a worthy purchase? I thought so. I paid $189 for him, which is a lot cheaper than an MISB Fort Max. I would rate this toy a 7 out of 10. Why 7? I would have liked to see him come with all of his parts and accessories. Although they are missing, he is still a good toy. You are listening to Radio Free Cybertron. The first, the best, the Optimus Prime, if you will.
And, thanks there, computer, for the most part. Up now, on Radio Free Cybertron, we have my take on Brave Max. Be forewarned, this is somewhat immature.
Hi, this is Larry DiTilio, and you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron.
First, let me start off by telling you about my new rating scale. Being that this is radio, I can get things across that I couldn't in text. So, with that said, the scale is rated against audible noises one could make. The better the sound, the higher the rating. Any given toy can rate from the best sound being, to the lowest being, now, to the review. Brave Maximus Thoughts by Brian Kilby. That's me. I got my Brave Maximus earlier this week, wanted on eBay for $125 in a Dutch auction, and that's a good place to get them if you can, believe it or not, eBay, yeah. The toy was $143 American after shipping, after being shipped from Texas via UPS. First impressions, the box is big. Not that big. I mean, I could fit two or three Brave Max boxes into the box that my computer came in. Well, it's not huge, so... the box art is, it's nothing special. I vastly prefer the art on the black Convoy box, rather. After opening the box, I had one question. Where are the accessories? Brave Max came with Brave. I guess that's the Cerebro's counterpart. And the Matrix Prime said that the Spike counterpart is called Plasma. He came with that, too. And he came with two ramps, Brave's handgun, and the radar dish. That's it. In fact, the radar dish, Spike, if this were an analytical review, I'd say plasma, but it's my show, so I'll say Spike. And Brave's handgun were in one bag. An itty-bitty-ditty bag, to quote Sergeant Slaughter from G.I. Joe the movie. The ramps came attached to a cardboard in the box. And that was it. No handguns for Fort or Brave Max. No stickers, nothing. That was it. And of course, I knew this going in. I mean, yeah, I had to, or I'd be very disappointed. But opening it and playing with it, there's a definite sense of finality ripping the box open and knowing for certain that the toy is stripped down. He comes packaged in robot mode, which is all but a necessity of that toy's design. The color scheme is, in robot mode is okay, if a bit basic. I'm not crazy about it, and I actually prefer the Fort Max color scheme. Transforming the toy is a snap. You don't even really need to look at the instructions to do it. The city mode is okay, and I'm not crazy about it. Never having Fort Max before, I've always been infinitely more familiar with the robot mode. So the city is a bit new to me. I mean, I knew the gimmicks going in. I mean, you know, just reading about the toy and seeing reviews and pictures online. But they sound so much cooler in text than they do sitting in front of you. It's nice that he supports the larger cars in city mode. G1 vehicles and car robot toys feel at home with Brave Max. And besides the color scheme, Fort Max at night, as he's been dubbed, the size is the only thing going for Brave Max. As far as cities go, I vastly, vastly prefer Metroplex. He's an all-around nicer-looking toy and is too small to support the quasi-lame gimmicks of Brave. My favorite mode is the Space Fort mode, or Battleship mode, or whatever it's called. It has the best layout and design, in my opinion, and it's much more believable than the City mode. You know, sure, it's nice to have a toy that big, but what are you going to do once you have it? He's just there. It's not like he serves any practical purpose. He's too big to be decorative, like most of the Transformers, and he's too small to use in faking your own death. So what good is he? On the whole, Brave Max is a... If you want him, buy him. You may be able to look past his faults. To me, though, he's just another Takara repaint. And now where's my Carobots repaint of Scorponok? I want that.
To be or not to be? Nebby's question. What is answer? Me not know. Slag, what is answer?
Me not know? Me Slag say you full of beryllium baloney!
Snarl! Tell me answer! Me Snarl want to be.
Yes, yes, no! Me want to be too!
Me want to be too, too.
Too, too.
Next we have Bad Poets Corner. First poem this week is entitled, There Once Was a Robot Made from a Bucket. There once was a bot made from a bucket. He was probably G1. And the second and final poem this week is entitled, The Car Brothers. The Car Brothers, Car Robot Kin. It's a crappy show that they're in. G1 Reborn, it's really not. Except, of course, for the lousy plot. Thank you. And finally on Radio Free Cybertron this week, we have Goldimus Prime. I can't talk. Man, I need sleep just sitting here. About to doze off as I say this. We have Goldimus Prime. Goldimus Prime, Goldimus Prime, Goldimus Prime. Just say it three times fast there. Goldimus Prime with review of, what? It's a review of something.
Alright, I'm reviewing Hammer Strike right now. I'm thinking this review is going to be a bit longer than Transmetal 2 Cheedor. Guess we'll find out about that, won't we? So, Hammer Strike is a hammerhead shark. Well, duh. He's one of the first two toys released in the Battle for the Spark series, which, going by Tank Drone, seems like the name's going to be pretty pointless except for the story blurb on the back of the card, which you can find a transcription of on the Hammer Strike review on my website at http://www.goldmus.net. I have to advertise because Brian won't. Hammer Strike is a very, very nicely proportioned 6 inches long. His color scheme's a little iffy. Some tan, translucent orange, blue, and red, too. His fins make a pretty decent use of the color scheme, with, like, a blue front edge, and then the rest of it is translucent orange. Like, there's a blue paint mask on the fins. I don't know why, it's just really neat looking. Let's see. He has all of 4 points of articulation in this mode. That would be his fins, his jaw, which can open and close, which is kind of a neat touch, I guess, and his tail, which I don't know if it's intended to move in beast mode, but it can if you put a little effort into it. Let's see here. He's pretty techno-organic. Well, I guess. Though the robot mode looks more organic than techno. On both sides of his dorsal fin, I hope I got that right, I haven't studied this stuff in a long time. Both sides of his fin, he has little, propulsion jets. I think it's just a neat touch. It's part of the whole techno-organic thing, like I said. His gimmick in this mode is pushing down the spark on top of his head to make a little translucent orange blade pop out of the front of his eyes. Yeah, that's a real cool gimmick, guys. Okay, what else here? I'm kind of going over my notes as I'm reading this. Like I said, he's pretty solid in beast mode. He doesn't really want to fall apart or anything, which is always a good thing. The spark itself, by the way, it looks to be just a normal Beast Machine spark. Beast Machine's maximal spark, that is. Although it's kind of hard to tell, since the spark is an incredibly dark blue that you can actually only see the maximal symbol in under very strong, direct light. Okay. In transforming him, it's not too difficult. Probably the worst part is going to be getting the tail part, and that's not too much work at all. The robot mode after that is... yeah. A very, very... well, I don't even know how to describe it. Okay, let's start with this. He inherited the McDonald's Jetstorm toy's arms. That is, they're hardly arms at all. He has no hands, and his arms are just the sides of his body. It looks like there's armor hanging off his shoulders waiting for his arms to come back from lunch. His torso is made up of a spinal cord and a chest plate. Nothing else. Just a spinal cord and a chest plate. And the chest plate's only there to make it look a little bit bulkier. One thing the instructions didn't cover was that he has a neck. The box pictures, the card pictures, I guess I should say, and the instructions show his head as being, like, locked in place, almost as if he had none. but he does have a neck joint, an intended one. It's a little bit hard to get out the first few times, but it loosens up pretty good. Not the point where it's floppy, just to the point where you have to make indents on your arm or thumbs. Jeez, I can't talk. Guess I should slow down talking a little bit so my brain can catch up. His feet are made from his tail fin, which is good for forward and back stability, but unless you kind of spread his legs out and turn him a little bit, there's not much stopping him from tipping side to side. His weapon is, well, it's his shark eyes and shark backbone, which pegs into one of his arms, since he has no hands to hold it with, and you can still use the button to spring the little blade out. What gets me about this is the weapon looks like a hammer, naturally, since it's made from his eyes and stuff, but he can't hold it like a proper hammer. He can only hold it like where he could swing it side to side, not up and down. If he had, like, real hands, and he could hold this like a hammer, and he was some crazy hammer-toting maximal lunatic, I really like the character. Anyway, color scheme's no different. In beast mode, I guess I forgot to cover this before, he's 6 inches long. Or did I say that already? And in robot mode, he is... Did I forget to put in the height? Oh, he stands 5 inches tall and has 10 points of articulation, which I won't get into the details of. His articulation is decent in robot mode, but his arms kill the entire thing. I could get past his lack of mass if he had some proper arms. He looks like an idiot. Well, okay, maybe not like an idiot. He looks incredibly stupid with the arms they gave him. I really can't recommend this toy. I mean, he's got a nice beast mode and all, but the robot mode is pathetic. No, he may be nice in beast mode, but I seriously can't recommend him. I'm going to give Hammer Strike an overall rating of 5 out of 10. This is Goldmist Prime for Radio Free Cybertron. The end.
Radio Free Cybertron.
And that's Radio Free Cybertron this week. We're closing the show out like we started with James Brown from the greatest album ever, A James Brown Christmas. Tune in next week for more Radio Free Cybertron. We will be back. We promise. We're here to serve you.
I ain't talking just to tease people like you that don't grow on trees. Look at you, that's what it's gonna be. Have everything I need around my sober Christmas tree. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I love you. Have good cheer. I love you. Good dog. Got my baby. My best love. Happiness. Good God. I got plenty of. Would you believe I got peace of mind? And I'll be grooving at Christmas time. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. Hope you have a good cheer. I love you, James Brown, love you. Your luck is so and so. Miss you, follow me. Like a sweet melody, I'm a lucky so-and-so. The bell's gonna ring for me.
a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to all of my fans. Have a good cheer. I love you. I love you. Won't take nobody else. I can't stand myself. Good God. I got a heart full of love for the whole wide world. Special love, a little song for girl. I get this feeling every now and then. Gotta get ready, bring a new year in. Merry Christmas and a happy new year. All good cheer. There's one more thing, been so nice to me down through the years. And I'll always remember you. Well, I'll never forget. You bought my record. Come and see my show. That's why James Brown love you so. You come to see my show. That's a debt that I'll always hold. You come to see my show. See you Christmas. Come to see my show.